Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, December 9th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on Weekly Call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send the questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to start off with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of John, picking back up on chapter 6. So the Gospel of John, chapter 6, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught at Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Okay, Terry, do we have any questions this week?
We have one statement. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, last week you read one thing from one person who didn't really have a question. They were just saying they were going to court. And they said, not a question, I just wanted to let you, tonight, or the next day, they sent the email that said, not a question, I just wanted to let you know that the class works. Thanks for the on-air read. It is an appeal of tax assessed on property that was not done according to law. That's all. The trick, as you guys say, is to maneuver the court garbage. Your class has given me the confidence with lots of prayer and the knowledge to get this far, and I know I will continue even better. Thank you. So, there you go. And that's the only thing that we have close to a question tonight. John?
Well, I really appreciate that. Maybe you can send me a copy of that. Just drop something in the email for me, and maybe we'll post that.
Will do.
And hopefully anybody else that has anything good to say about the course, you know, we spent a lot of time putting that course together. It is from the perspective of common law, using a lot of Supreme Court rulings, of course, not only United States Supreme Court rulings, but different state Supreme Court rulings, because all is the law. Anything that was, anything that really is not repugnant to the common law, of course. And there are a lot of really good decisions from the Supreme Court. Of course, most recently, the last 20 years or so, we don't get a lot of good decisions, I don't think. Although lately, last couple of years, they've been pretty good. By the way, the queue is open. Everybody wants to get in the queue. It's a *6 and 1. Let me click on this record for a second. I'm pretty sure I did turn the record on, but let me check it. Okay, it was on. All right. So there are no questions and there's no announcements, right?
No, I don't have any announcements.
Okay. Let me see if anybody's in the queue. Well, no one's in the queue yet, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, you know, again, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or a browser, you got a link in there somewhere, a button where enter the queue. Meanwhile, we'll take a look at a few things. I know we talked last week a little bit about the addendum we sent to the grand jury. The addendum to the grand jury presentment. And I recently just wrote another paper. I think what we're going to be doing is these papers are not necessarily going to go to the Supreme Court, but we are copying, I think it's 39 individuals. And, you know, one of the purposes also is to try to educate individuals, especially our leaders. So the individuals we've been copying, for instance, I'll read a list of their names. Let me just open this paper up. And these are the people that we're copying. And again, I just did a paper, another memorandum. We'll be sending it out, and I'll post it. And like I said, it's only going to go to these 39 people. I think it's 39. And these people, again, are the people that are leading this country or about to lead this country. So we copied President Trump. We copied Tom Fenton for Judicial Watch. Donald Trump Jr., Robert F. Kennedy, Cash Patel, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator John Kennedy, Senator Rand Paul, Senator John Hawley, Senator J.D. Vance, who is now Vice President, of course, Congressman Mike Johnson, Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman or woman Marjorie Taylor, Congressman Matt Gaetz, and I don't, he's not a congressman anymore. I got to check his regular mailing. I'm sure he still gets his mail that's been going as a congressman in that address. It's down in Florida. Steve Scalise, congressman. Congressman Andy Briggs, Congressman Chip Roy. Congressman Eli Crane. Congressman Corey Mills. And Congressman Jim Banks. Now, there's probably a few other people we could probably send these papers to, and we'll see, maybe we'll add some more. Also to Judge Advocate General, also National Guard, NORAD, Office of the Air Force and Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Army. And the paper that I wrote up, I'll post it maybe this week sometime. I'll try to get it up there. Probably in the same place that these papers are being found, right in this section here. And it's really on that we're a Christian nation. I had done a memorandum, I think it's about 9 pages, if I recall. And it really lays out what our founding fathers intended for this nation to be. And so, again, we're really trying to educate. People need to understand the common law. And, you know, the individuals I read off, they're pretty intelligent individuals. They're very active. They are all working to try to bring this nation back to where it belongs. But I do believe that they're totally ignorant to the law. I mean, I could be wrong on this, but I don't see any evidence that they understand what common law is or the fact that that civil law is not the law of the land. And a lot of these people are, particularly, you know, the congressmen and the senators, a lot of them are lawyers, so they've been bar-taught. Their mind has been polluted to some degree. And so, you know, they need to be re-educated. And I think between the paper we sent, which was 150 pages on the original presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court, it covered about 20 or 21 points that needed to be appreciated by the courts and by our elected individuals to really bring us back to courts of justice again. So, again, we want to continue to try to feed these people with this information. It's a lot of overwhelming evidence on all of these points that we bring up, that who we are as a people, what our law should look like ultimately, that civil law, which is legislative law, has nothing to do with we the people, that no elected individuals or appointed individuals have any power or authority within a court of record. The only purpose of a magistrate or judge who wears a magistrate cap, of course, when he comes into a court of record, the only thing they can do really is act as a traffic cop to keep things going. They can't prevent evidence from being brought up. A lot of times they do get rid of a lot of evidence because they try to lean the case the way they want that to go. So with a stacked jury and controlling the evidence that goes into the court, and to some degree controlling any kind of a position that holds the person, individual that is the defendant, it's just stacked against them. So it's a problem, and we have to change these things in the courts. And I certainly hope that all these papers that we're putting together and getting out to these individuals, even if they're not all reading it, and I don't understand why they wouldn't read it, just starting to read these papers, they should come to a realization quite quickly. Let's just take a real quick look here on this paper here, which is the presentment with a court order. I mean, just the first couple of paragraphs the paper should be enough to entice them, to draw them in, to take a look, to consider, okay? And again, those who are not lawyers, people who are not lawyers understand this stuff very quickly, very quickly. People who are lawyers, it's like a deer in the headlights. They get caught, and it takes a lot to wake them up. They're very difficult to wake up. But these people are intelligent people. They're readers. They're researchers to some degree. And we'll see where it goes. But I just want to read a couple of paragraphs here, and then we're going to go see what we got going in questions. We don't have too many people in the queue now, but if we run out of that, maybe I'll read that paper that I had sent out recently. And again, the next paper that will be going out, maybe we'll take a look at that in the next week or so. But again, just to look at some paragraphs, and particularly in the beginning, to really see that this should draw these people in. Comes now, extraordinary presentment and order. Comes now, the Constituted Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, here and after, we the people, for an unprecedented presentment and an order to the United States Supreme Court being the overseers of the federal judiciary, Article 3, Section 1. All officers of the court or clerks that avert this presentment by removing, mutilating, concealing, or covering up by any trick, scheme, or device these material facts herein, thereby preventing this presentment from reaching the justices of the United States Supreme Court, will be held liable for aiding and abetting pursuant to 18 U.S.C. subsection 2381 and 18 U.S.C. subsection 2, whereas notice to agent is notice to principal. Nothing in this presentment is to be interpreted as being under civil law, which is repugnant to the common law of the land. This is a case concerning treason at the highest levels. On November 10, 2014, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury filed a writ quo warranto on all federal and state courts and all elected officials, and refiled on May 13, 2015. All respondents failed to plea and defend. The record shows that no returns, objections, nor more time was requested to answer, see Exhibit A, attach, whereas silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. Now, just to make a note here, we made note of this writ quo warranto, and we attached the writ quo warranto to the 150-page presentment and order. So it's kind of refreshed their memory for those who should have had it. But of course, you know, we've got about 40 people, like I said, that we've been copying other than the Supreme Court itself. And you know, those individuals all got a copy of that writ quo warranto, which I believe was a very powerful paper also. I'm just going to read a couple more paragraphs and we'll see if we'll go to questions here. We the people are demanding declaratory judgment that will restore our courts of justice and obedience to the law of the land. If the United States Supreme Court cannot find the fortitude to enforce the law of the land upon their own, then because of the magnitude of the conspiracy being addressed in this presentment, the military will. We the people codified our unalienable rights in the Declaration of Independence when we said we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce us under absolute despotism, it is our right, it is our duty, to throw off such government, and to provide new gods for our future security. This presentment is the beginning of that process. Okay, I'm going to set this aside, and let me just read this last paragraph. If the United States Supreme Court rejects the settling of this national emergency under the rules of common law, then we the people include in this extraordinary presentment the removal of the justices of the United States Supreme Court also. And since the present executive and majority of the House Senate have been compromised, we the people being the sovereign, considering our very republic is at stake, command the military to act and to secure what these tyrants took an oath to obey, protect, and uphold, a common law republic. Okay, so I'm just going to stop reading there. Anybody who hasn't read this, you really should take some time to read it. It's a good paper. It really lays out the problems in the courts as far as looking for the solutions that need to be addressed in these courts. And ultimately, of course, bringing that through that process, courts of justice, returning courts of justice. And I do think, you know, of course Trump is going to be taking power on the 20th. They've been doing a lot of things. When I say they, I mean Trump and all the other individuals, particularly that we've been listing out here in these papers. And many, many other people. And Trump is gaining a lot of really good momentum. Looks like he's settling peace out there in the Middle East. It seems to be working things out with Ukraine and Russia, and just a lot of things happening. And I'm sure people are paying attention and hearing. By the way, you know, where we get our evidence, or most of us get our evidence, and there are other places also, I don't have time sometimes to really watch a lot of news, but I do try to make it my make sure that I do get to look at the news here that we lay out, that we suggest that people might want to, you know, get their information from. Let's see where this is, up-to-date news. So again, every once in a while I click on this page and suggest that people want to get their information. Great, great reporting. X22 report, and of course you can click on these things and it'll open up to the pages, to their main page. And we know this guy is really good. He's very entertaining, matter of fact, in the way that he brings it, so his news and information and interviews. SGT report, Q News Patriot, Christian Patriot News. This guy used to put out quite a bit, you know, 2-3, maybe 4 times a week. Then it went down to once a week, and he's down to like once a month right now. But whatever he puts something out is pretty powerful. Stephen Gardner, Tucker Carlson, Donald J. Trump, the Bongino Report, Joe Rogan, and Dr. Eric Berg. Anybody that has a medical problem, you should start watching this guy's videos. He's been on for a long time. He's got thousands of videos. He addresses all kinds of problems. I had quite a few medical problems over the past, 6-8 years or so. And some were getting pretty serious for me. And, I started doing what this guy suggests to do, and it's really all taking vitamins and supplements. And my entire health had turned around. All my problems pretty much disappeared. So, again, anybody that's got health problems definitely should be going to that guy. But anyway, good news comes out through these areas that we're talking about. Okay, I guess what we'll do is we've got 2 people in the queue, so we'll take some questions. Hopefully other people get into the queue. If not, we'll talk about some things. Maybe read some papers, or maybe we can get a conversation going between the administrators here at National Liberty Alliance. Okay, so our first caller we have is Ross. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross. Let me see. That button didn't seem to work. Let me try it again. Okay, there you go. You should be unmuted, Ross.
Benjamin, can we go back to the original citizenship before the 14th Amendment was passed?
Can we go back to the original citizenship before the 14th Amendment? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, the 14th Amendment really didn't change. It did make things a little more powerful. It really was written in a way to have doublespeak. So if you really look at the words and read through the 14th Amendment very carefully and consider it from the perspective of natural law, it's good and it's powerful and it's not a problem. But then they play with words, change the meanings of certain things, and if you read it from that perspective, okay, then of course it's problematic. And since we have to really read these things in light of our Constitution, particularly, of course, the law of the land within that focus, the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of the law of America, and the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, particularly, is really a measuring stick. Anything that you read concerning whatever the government puts out and court's decisions or anything in the law, so to speak, if you measure it by the Bill of Rights and all of our unalienable rights, because we have a lot more than what really was listed, but those are the basics, anything that's in violation of our unalienable rights is null and void. And so we could measure everything up to that, and it's null and void. So, but anyway, go ahead, Ross.
I think the problem is the original 10 amendments is actually Bill of Rights, and the other things added later to change the Constitution and the Articles of the Constitution, not the original.
Yeah. I didn't get that. I didn't understand some of what you were saying, and you were breaking up a little in the end, but repeat the question again, or unless it's a statement.
I was saying the original Ten Commandments is the Bill of Rights, the original Bill of Rights, before
right.
the Amendments. But if you want a Tenth Amendment citizenship, go through the passport process. You can't claim your federal citizenship through as saying you're a citizen, because that's a federal citizenship, not a state and national citizenship.
Well, when it comes to being a citizen, remember, you know, a citizen is could be used in many different ways in many different governments. You know, you're a citizen of a different country and whatever that country is all about and the laws and so on and so forth. They may not be lawful as far as common law is concerned, of course, but it's what they apply. And, you know, we have the common law, but they've been applying civil law here for a long time. And but the word citizen and being subjected to that jurisdiction is not a problem as long as it's interpreted from the perspective of the common law. And that's the key to the whole thing.
Like with the saying, so you're born in the state first before you're born in the United States, because you're born, I was born in California, and before I was a citizen of the United States.
Right. Anybody that was born anywhere in the United States, no matter what state you are in, is a citizen of the United States. Now, I know there's a big controversy concerning that kind of a statement because of, you know, what they have done with the word, the meaning of the word, and trying to direct that word to really, you know, statutes, you know, their civil law. And from their perspective, a restricted Bill of Rights. I mean, these people actually believe that they can negotiate our Bill of Rights. They can never negotiate those Bill of Rights. They come from God. And, you know, common law, simply put, and in a nutshell, is common sense. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Common sense and that which is right and just a series of maxims. Okay, because that's what common sense is. It's a series of maxims. It'll take in the facts and applying common sense to it. As far as, of course, the law that controls our elected individuals, that's a whole different story. That's the purpose of the Constitution that we ordained and established the Constitution for them to be obedient to, and they take an oath to it. But, you know, they try to negotiate away. This is the problem with a democracy. Okay, and that's another paper that really we're going to look at in soon concerning a democracy. You know, of course, we're a republic. Just because we elect people by popular vote does not make us a democracy, not at all. You know, it just, first of all, it's common sense that a popular vote should put a person into office. That's just common sense as it is. But democracy actually is where we're giving them the power and the authority to do whatever they want. You know, we're going to give you power, go make the laws and enforce those laws. And we're in big trouble when we do something like that. But it's been going on like that for quite some time. These people, people generally, since, let's see, 1938, we've been under civil law. So the memory of natural law is very vague. Of course, natural law was still being applied in the courts even after 1938, which is with the Rules Enabling Act, which took effect as far as the rules of the court were written and applied by the United States Supreme Court justices. But that being said, it took a while for that really to kind of, you know, dribble down to the other court systems that were already in a civil law posture anyway. You know, we've been battling this problem with civil law in the United States really for a very, very long time. And our courts really have been called, are really called chancery courts, because that's exactly what they are. And judges are chancellors. And that's not what we had set up. But nevertheless, you know, it's going to take a while. We have to get, first of all, we got to get rid of all of the judges on the federal level. They all have to go. They should all be dismissed. And that's one of the things we're pushing for. Hopefully Trump will push that, too. I know Trump is pushing to get rid of all of the prosecutors, all 94 districts. And so that needs to be done. But again, going back to this idea of republic versus a democracy, you know, a republic is really, we have detailed very specifically what laws they can apply. And we were very clear on the fact that anything repugnant to our Constitution is null and void. We were very clear that we are under the common law, which is natural law, and really brings us back to the Bible. And the paper that I wrote just recently, actually, it's a paper that's been around for a while, but I cleaned it up and you know, just put it together in a different way. But it's really focusing in on the fact that we are a Christian nation, and you cannot remove that from because it's just a fact. You can't remove it. And our founding fathers were crystal clear with it, and. Let me think, it was Federalist number 9, I think it was, where the whole thing was really focusing in on the fact that we are not a democracy, that we indeed are a republic. And our founding, all of our founding fathers had a lot to say about that. But anyway, anything else, Todd?
Yes, the problem, the passport is usually under a de facto system, not a de jure jurisdiction.
Are you saying that the passports are under a de jure jurisdiction?
No, de facto jurisdiction, because it's governed by statute.
Repeat it, because I missed the word, I think. I thought you said...
A de facto jurisdiction is your passport. That passport should be under a de jure jurisdiction.
Oh, a passport should be under de jure jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to think about that statement in the sense to try to understand what exactly that really means. I don't know if you can expound a little bit on that, but, you know, passports are a necessity in order to travel outside the nation, to be able to go from one country to another and being able to get back in to prove that you're a citizen and you can enter in at the door, in and out at pleasure. So, of course, passports are very important, and I don't see how they wouldn't be a de jure, you know, so...
Yes. The problem, like, a lot of the problem is people are thinking, oh, passports are only supposed to be used out of the USA, but now... You still can use them in the United States, but not the passport. No, it's two different things. It's because people want the driver's licenses. The driver's licenses are actually for only commercial use. Because the state legislature, the people of the state, delegated the state legislature to regulate commercial activities for traveling vehicles or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not getting the question though. I pretty much heard most of what you said, but I didn't catch the question. Is there a question there, or just making a statement?
I was just saying, why people see, why is, if the passport is a digital, the jurisdiction is a driver's license and the jurisdiction of a de facto jurisdiction. De facto.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that. To some degree, you're right. Okay. Look at the driver's license are required and necessary for people who are operating commercially. Okay. You know, you can go to the motor vehicles, the DMV. And you can get a regular ID card, which is just an ID card. And then they have a certain requirements to prove that you have to prove who you are, and then they give you an ID card. The problem with that, of course, is that they charge you money for it. They should not charge you money for an ID. That's number one. Number two, I would still get a commercial license myself, even if I didn't have to, just to have it in case I wanted to drive commercially, because I have driven commercially on and off throughout my lifetime. And I don't have no intention of doing that at this point, but never know. So I would probably get that anyway. And that should be free. But again, a driver's license being stopped by anyone, you know, by law enforcement, first of all, they should have a real good reason to stop you. But nevertheless, requiring a driver's license is not lawful because unless you're driving commercially. But I will say that you do have to have a good ID. A passport cannot fulfill it's not accepted in a lot of places, and even the government to some degree, it doesn't really accept a passport as ID. Of course, it's ID for entering in and out of the country. And the fact, and I'm sure there's a number, so I mean, again, that could be looked up on a computer. They can see your picture, they can get your name, and verify the fact that it's real and that you are who you are, at least when you're coming into the country. But again, I don't know too much about how all that works, but again, I don't think a passport is really good for ID. There are many places.
Yeah. Like that. Like, if you were talking about a passport ID, they, you know, they have two choices you can use for a passport: a ID card, a passport ID, or a passport book. Two different things. They say passport ID is only used in the United States.
Okay, well, again, I'm not familiar with that, so you seem to know more than I do on that issue. Never looked into that. But again, inappropriate. Everyone should have ID. Obviously, you can't really do much. You can't vote without ID. At least you shouldn't be able to. You need ID to do business, open a corporation, open a bank account, or whatever it is that you want to do. So you need ID. You want to get something notarized, you need a picture ID. So the state should provide that picture ID, that picture ID, to any individual, and everyone, of course, should get one, some kind of an ID. It's not again, if you have a driver's license, it's an ID, but you can just get a regular ID from motor vehicles. It looks just like a driver's license, but it's not. And
yes, that's the problem. Once you enter the jurisdiction, they have jurisdiction over you. That's the problem. You don't want to enter the jurisdiction.
Well, I agree. I agree you don't want to enter their jurisdiction, but how will you enter their jurisdiction if it's not required? Let's take a driver's license. Right now, the problem with the driver's license, of course, is they're applying it on people who are not operating commercially. It is a good ID, but they're applying it if you're driving, and they shouldn't be doing that. That's the problem. That's an easy, quick fix. The other thing is to charge people for it. That's a problem, and that's a quick fix also. And just to get a general or basic ID from the state, again, very simple, very quick, and it shouldn't be charged for. You know, you have to prove, of course, who you are. And I know if you don't get an ID by the time you're 18, it becomes a little harder and more problematic in order to get ID after you're 18. I know that for a fact. It's a lot easier getting it when you're under 18. So everyone, you know, when they're, I don't know, 15, 16, maybe even younger than that, 14, I don't know that there should even be an age limit. People should be able to get an ID just by going to the Department of Motor Vehicles where they, you know, are producing them. But, you know, as long as it's lawfully used, we're not being charged for it, and it's not required to have in order to drive unless you're driving commercially. So there's nothing wrong with the documents per se. It's the application of civil law, and it's the application of that civil law upon those documents. That's the problem, and that's what needs to be fixed.
Yeah, that's what the government officials highly interpreted.
Well, yeah, and again, they've been, you know, everyone that works for the government, if they're a lawyer, they've been really brainwashed very well in their law schools, you know, going to be going through the bar process. So they're very difficult. It's very difficult to get these people to see the truth. People who are not, that work for the government, like particular clerks and different things that are not, don't have a law background. They're poisoned because they're told what to do, and they believe what they're being told what to do when they do it. And all day law, they're violating the law, and that's the problem. The problem that needs to be fixed is education. That's the problem. And some people need to be sued, when they violate your unalienable rights or in any way. And that in itself is sort of a correction, as long as we can get just court. And once they're corrected in just courts, that's going to correct a lot of people, because they'll see one person, do this, and, boy, I better not do it either. Clerks will do anything that the judge tells them to do. And many times, I don't even have a count on this, so many times, just on my, filings, clerks have broken the law by removing or returning papers or denying access into the courts or requiring money to get into the courts. All of that is a crime, and it's with the exception, even with the blocking, of course, I don't know if there's a fine that could be really be applied for that, but common law, of course, has common sense. They should be punished, and you can ask for it if you want. But individuals that are removing things from the court, papers that are filed because they don't want them there, or they bastardize papers, or they change the recordings in the courts. All of that is a crime, and there are statutes that applied upon them that require jail sentences and a fine, and it should be applied upon them. You only have to apply a few times here and there, and the word travels very quickly, and then people will straighten up. But look, it's up to the people to get educated. If the people are not educated, then you just have, they don't even know the law. They don't even know when the law is broken. They don't even know what rights they really have. The common rights are one thing, and even some of the common rights people don't even understand that they have. But there are lots of rights that people have, and they have no clue, So as Jefferson said, and I repeat this over and over very often, if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and is never going to be. You have to know the law to be able to see that it's being broken, and you have to know the law in order to apply it against these people and force them to be obedient.
Yeah. Well, I signed up to be an election worker for Cassius County for the federal election. They asked for a Class A documentation. And when they say Class A, that's the passport.
You're coming in and out. I mean, you're a little difficult to understand sometimes anyway, but you're coming in and out, so I really didn't get that last part there.
I said I applied to be an election worker for Calculus County, and they asked for Class A, B, or C documentation.
What did you apply for?
Be an election worker.
To get onto the election rolls, you apply to vote?
To work to count the votes in that.
Oh, to count the votes.
Yes.
Okay. There is a process of counting votes. We do have it in the records. You have to go back into the archives. Here in New York, we can go into the archives and go back to before 1916 or 1913. We have to go before that, when the Washington Clause was in there. And there is a process of counting the votes. And that needs to be really executed back. And the people need to be counting the votes. It is true that we have to pay people to go in and run the polling during election period times, and of course, and they got to be trained, and all that is good, and watchers. But this is where the committee men come in. And I'm not talking about the statutory committee men. We're talking about those committee men that are free and independent through the committees of safety. That's where these people come in. Because every time at the end of any election, it is the duty and the responsibilities of the committee men to be present for an open counting of the votes in each of the election districts. One of the problems is they don't necessarily really work out all the counting completely with inside of the different election districts. They collect them all together, it seems, at least in some states. And then they send it up to the county level, and that's where the real organizing of the counting takes place. Of course, you got the machines, and they send that information up, so on and so forth, and who wants to trust the machine? A machine is a counting of the votes in secret. That's what a machine is. It can't be done. And again, there is a process. As a matter of fact, each time a vote is placed, an individual is supposed to take a look at that ballot, make the notes of who, won that particular, vote from an individual. Someone else is supposed to be standing behind that person when they read it off and make a claim, and the person is to acknowledge that that is correct. He's seeing the same paperwork. And then it's written up by someone across the table, it's marked off the vote, and someone stands behind that person and acknowledges the fact that it was recorded correctly. That's the proper way to count votes. And now also the committee men who are not paid for this process, they should be there at the end of the day within their election districts, and they should be observing all this, and they should be certifying the fact that everything was done properly and the vote count is accurate. And then it's sent up to the county for tabulation, and the committee men need to be up there too for the tabulations. Now, if we do it any other way, okay, other than that, and that's the way the process it used to be going back into the early 1900s, and of course before. And any other way, there is no other real proper way to count votes other than that. It's done in the open, can't be done in secret, nothing could be hidden. And we need to get back to that. So.
Yeah. So when I was applying for the re-election for the county level, they asked for you you choose from three different identification processes to be working for them as the election worker.
So if I'm understanding right, what you're saying really is that you applied to be part of the process at your election district. Did they accept you?
Yes, they did.
So you did participate in the process?
The problem is I didn't check my email, and I accidentally missed the email.
I'm sorry, say that again. You missed the email, so you didn't. What happened?
I said, you have to check the email to say see your applications and the interview for the position of election official.
Did you go to the interview or you missed that?
No, actually I missed the email.
Okay, so they sent you an email, you missed it, and you didn't go. So you actually didn't participate, but you were trying to go through that process.
Yes. And they asked you...
And that should be done probably from forget the name of it, but go ahead.
As I was applying to do that process, they asked you the three types of identification. It's a Class A, Class B, and a Class C identification.
So they need a proper identification is what you're saying, and what is an A, B, and a C? What's that about?
Okay, the A identification is the passport.
Oh, okay, all right.
And Class B is COVID ID, state ID or state license.
Okay.
And Class C is the green card or those kind of things that people who are immigrating to the United States.
A green card?
Yes.
So those people are not citizens. They should not be there participating in that vote counting or the election process.
I don't know why I included that anyways, but we need to get rid of that.
Do they require just one of the three?
Yes, one of the three.
Well, again, the only one that is valid is the driver's license or the state ID. Let's call the driver's license a state ID also, because it is. So that's the only really valid one that you listed out. A passport is not necessarily a valid ID. I mean, I'm sure it's used as a backup. You know, you got a couple of documents, and it certifies. You know, and it strengthens your identification, of course. So, but I'm surprised that a green card is someone who's just here. That's not a citizen yet, and they got the permission to be here, but they should not be participating in any way, shape, or form with the election.
I think this is the progressive law.
By the way, the thing I was trying to think of before was the Board of Elections. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. But the Board of Elections, of course, is really the ones that it works out. Every county has a Board of Elections in it. and they kind of work together to educate all the individuals throughout the entire county that's going to be participating in all of the election districts within that county. You know, here in Dutchess County, we have 249 election districts. So they need people to man and work the process in every one of those election districts. So, all right, well, we're going to go on our next caller, Ross.
Okay.
Got anything final?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. All right, anyway, anybody wants to get into the queue, there's only one other person left in the queue at the moment, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button to enter the queue. John, good to hear from you. You got the mic.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I got two questions or whatever like that. I'm the Brunson Brothers writ to the Supreme Court. Has that went through? And the next question I'm just questioned about is the Trump cabinet appointments. I mean, I've heard a lot of different things, read a lot of different things, good, bad. I mean, it sounds really, really good. But then I've had other people that I've trusted and listened to before that said, hey, you know, they're all pro-Israel and warmongers. And I'm just curious what your take is on those two things.
Well, remember, you know, they don't have to agree with everything what the president believes and thinks and so on. But what they do have to agree and believe on is the authority that they're given and their job to be done and the obedience to the law through that part of the process. In other words, let's take Kennedy, for instance. You know, he made a little bit of a humor, but it was also a truth concerning Kennedy the fuel as far as oil, drilling for oil and the environment and that kind of thing. So Kennedy has a different perspective on that. But where his focus is, of course, is on health, okay, particularly dealing with, what's going on with the pharmaceutical companies and the different laws and requirements and different things that are going on. Also problems with the water, the air, the food. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And he's excellent on that. He's really an expert. He spent a lot of time working and researching and studying. So that's where his expertise is. But he doesn't have to agree with everything that Trump agrees with. He just has, you know, and Trump is really just concerned with the fact, well, this is your job, do it right, and this, we got to have agreements here, you know. And I'm sure Trump's getting educated from RFK. Anyway, now, I know there were some bad appointments for a few people, at least they think it's bad appointments, because, there's a problem that's contrary to our positions, so to speak, or Trump's positions. But again, it's where he's placing those people. And remember, it's been said by numerous people, Trump plays chess for 4D. So sometimes, you know, there's a suggestion, for instance, that one person was appointed in order to get them out of a seat ultimately, but they would be safe in the position they put them in. But if they don't, if they're not safe and they don't do what's necessary and obey the law, well, they just fire them. So he got two birds with one stone, so to speak. So, again, you know, people have different opinions. I know there are people that have a problem with Israel. Most people don't, but some people do. But it's not the people of Israel that's the problem. You know, it's the leadership, and it's the it's not necessarily Israel in itself. So again, we have to understand those points and those positions.
Yeah, well, I know I was at a meeting a couple of years ago, and I listened to Pete Hegseth, and they've really been giving him a raft of crap. And God, he's a pretty straightforward shooter as far as I could see, you know. But we're dealing all this stuff through the lens of the national media too. So I mean, I don't believe anything that they say. Okay. Normally, if they're saying something's bad, I think it's good, and vice versa, and something like that. But I'm just curious because I mean I'm really, really hearing a lot of things from people I've trusted, you know, with X-22 and stuff like that. Some of them are really hot on some of these people, and some of them are not. And I'm going, I don't even know what to believe anymore. But,
okay, there's a major problem out there with a few things, and I'll tell you what is it called? This coin. Why can't I think of the name of this coin?
Bitcoin.
This Bitcoin is a major problem. You know, I looked into this thing and I was trying to understand Bitcoin, and I spent a lot of time listening to some people talking about this, explaining Bitcoin. It gets pretty complicated. But it's the chain, the blockchain that is powerful, okay? And I wouldn't say that I understand that, but to agree, generally speaking, I do understand that, generally speaking. I mean, it's really complicated because it does protect, you know, whoever has the value, particularly of the Bitcoin. And recently I did some more searching because I didn't hear anybody talk about what's supporting it. And I've been reading some stuff off the Internet recently, at least three or four different sources. Mm-hmm. And bottom line is there is no solid backing of the value of a Bitcoin. Nothing. It's not supported by anything. And then they make the argument in this one case saying, well, gold and silver isn't backed either. But are these people insane? Gold and silver is the value. I mean, it has value. It is a value. That's the point. That's why Founding Fathers put it into, it's biblical money is what it is. Gold and silver is biblical money. It goes all the way back 2,000 years, 14, well, actually, yeah, a couple of thousand years before Christ. And so gold and silver has been around just forever. God, and again, it's biblical money, and that's what our founding fathers put in. Now I have done some research in the past, it was actually a long time ago. Not that I was researching and recording at the time because I wasn't so, but generally speaking, I was looking into different forms of money throughout the centuries or the millenniums. And there's all kinds of different things that people use to get money to make something of value. There was one place where there was a stick that was you take two sticks, and they were identical in the cuts and the marks and so on and so forth, the two sticks, and the king would hold one and the other person, and then that would be given to someone as and it'd be have a certain value to it. I mean, so people tried all kinds of things, and of course you prove the fact that the stick has a value by laying it up against the stick that was created that's equal to it in all the markings and everything. I mean, that was just one of many, many ways. And everything has always failed in history with the money unless it's backed by gold and silver. That's the only one that ever can value. When you go and look at the Bitcoin that has no real backing, no solid backing of the value of that coin, and then the value of that coin goes insanely high, and they say, well, it's because this coin is they only made so many coins, and so somehow the value goes up. However, all that works, again, I don't know, but think about it. The people who came in the beginning It's like a Ponzi scheme, in my opinion. The people that came in the beginning are the biggest winners. Okay, they got it for dirt cheap, and then they walk out with a fortune when they turned it in. Now, at some point, the thing's going to fail, but there's nothing backing it. Now you have money, there's no value behind it, it fails. History records.
Yeah, by definition, money has three different qualities. It has to be relatively rare, it has to be easily divisible, and it has to have value in and of itself. And that's why gold, and to a lesser extent, silver works, because you can't destroy it. I mean, you have paper money, whatever, like that, Bitcoin. If you lose your computer, you lost your Bitcoin. So gold and silver has that quantity qualities.
Well, that's an interesting point. So your value that you're holding of that Bitcoin, let's say, mm-hmm. and it's recorded in your computer, so it's recorded electronically. If you don't have that backed up, and you lose everything, what you're saying is you lose the value. You lose it all.
Yeah. All Bitcoin is, from my understanding, is it's a location. And whatever this thing is, a big grid, it's a location, a specific location, a specific grid that this is protected like that. So, but I mean, there is, you can't hold it in your hand. That's why I would never get Bitcoin. I mean, you can't hold it in your hand. You can hold paper in your hand.
I wouldn't even buy gold or silver if I can't hold it in my hand, because there are places that sell it and says, hey, we'll hold it for you if you want. I mean, you ain't holding my money. I mean, how can you do that? But here's the other problem. The whole system could possibly go down if we were hit with an EMP, a really serious EMP that hit the entire world and put mm-hmm. the entire world under, back into the Stone Age. That's all gone. That's all gone. Unless that whole system somehow was backed up and protected from EMPs. You know, I talked with the people who manage our website, where we buy our space. And I asked them about that, and I suggested to them that they back up their computers with an EMP protection. We don't need that because we got the cloud, everything. They just don't even understand what I'm talking about. And they just don't understand and realize, just because you got backed up in the cloud, if we have a serious problem with an EMP and all of the computers that you have all this information on, all our website, and even if it's backed up on another computer, and all that gets hit, it's done, it's fried. It's gone. It's not there no more.
What's going to happen, just go into a store, a grocery store or someplace like that, where they work on computers and computers are down. They can't check out any groceries. Right. They can't do anything. I mean, they're dead in the water.
Look, technology is a blessing and it's a curse. It's both, I'll tell you. If I had to make a decision, if I had the ability to make the decision, let's say, to continue with technology or go back to the way it was before we had this heavy technology, specifically talking about computers. Okay, which would I like best? Life was much better pre-computer. First of all, children are destroyed by computers. They don't even go out and exercise and move around. They just sit in front of their computers, play stupid games, curse at each other. It's all demoralizing. These games that they play are destructive and evil, really, ultimately. You get used to killing people in these battles and stuff. And I mean, it's just really a huge problem. All of these smartphones that we give to our children, they're destroying each other. What's wrong with us? Can't we think and realize that out? No child should have these smartphones, none. Okay, once they get to a certain age, maybe. But I would definitely say you shouldn't even bring them to school, even if you have one, because it's problematic, it's destructive.
There's a couple of things. Yes and no. If your objective is to drive a nail, a hammer is a great tool. Okay.
Right.
If you want to crunch a lot of information, a computer is a great tool. Now they used to teach you how to do that in your head, but still a computer keeps a lot more organized. Okay. So I mean, it depends what you're doing on the thing, but it has to be controlled. That's for darn sure, and it has to be controlled. Hopefully by the parents, and then hopefully if you teach them enough before they get to that 18 or 19 year old age, that they can know the difference what's really good and what's bad. I mean, truthfully, I mean it's a tool. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to hunt, you know, a bow and arrow is good. You know, a rifle is a better job from that if you get farther away. You know, if you get a knife or a club for that matter. That's a Cabin used to use a club, not very efficient, but it worked. You know, so have a tool that does what you want on a thing. But I mean, know the difference. I remember when I used to start before they had calculators when I was in school. Our teacher back then, he used to made us do the algorithms and stuff like that, so you knew exactly what was happening, which is exactly what was happening with the calculators. I mean, we used to have those old calculators, and they got more and more compact and that. But you had to know how this stuff all worked before you could really use it, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Your kids don't even know how to read a clock, a regular clock with the numbers on it, you know, one all the way through to 12 and the two hands. They can't read them. And they don't know how to read a map. They don't know how to find north and south, I mean, which is all pretty simple. But this is how bad it is. Again, I love the technology because what it has given me in knowledge is amazing, and how much it saved me in time running businesses. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I used to spend a lot of time typing up. Estimates and stuff, and you're making a mistake. And I'm a perfectionist with neatness and stuff, so you know I got to do it over and over and over again. And early on, I got this typewriter that was a computerized typewriter. You know, I'm trying to think when it was. I got my first computer in 1989 or 1990. But before that, there was a little bit of a computer and a typewriter, and it had been around for anyway. I just wasn't aware of the computers. My first computer, Windows 3.0 just came out, and that's when I had first got my first computer. But anyway, you know, I had this typewriter, and to be able to have some memory in that so I can do my estimates and write it up, and I can make all the changes inside this typewriter so I didn't have to redo the whole thing and type it out again, you know, that was amazing and saved me a lot of time. And when I got a computer, you know, then really I used to do a lot of Bible studies, and what would take me weeks to do, I could do in a day with a computer, with the research and going through a good Bible program, looking into Greek and Hebrew and doing different things. So in business and also in other things in life, it's really, really beneficial. But at the same time, on the other end of that coin, the other side of things, it makes people stupid, you know, because there's a lot of things that they don't know, and they rely on the technology to give them the answers. And let's look at AI. AI is going to be a real big problem, real big problem. People are going to really be morons after that because they're going to be totally dependent on AI. It's ridiculous. And I think people really need to be thinking about this, and, you know, especially when in schools, because we have to send our kids to schools that they got a computer, learning on a computer, maybe a 45-minute on computers, you know, just how to work a computer, do research or whatever. But the rest of their stuff in school should not be on a computer. It shouldn't be cell phones in schools. None of that stuff is there because it's damaging. It injures the children. And parents need to take responsibility at home for this, because these kids come home, they don't even go out to play. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, we were out playing stickball, basketball, football. We were out all the time in the streets, ring-a-levio, roundup, stoop ball, all kinds of stuff. You were exercising, running around, having a good time. These children are missing out on all the great stuff in life, all of it. They're missing out on it. They don't have it, you know. I listen to them, and anywhere I go, I remember going to a pizza shop one time, getting a slice of pizza, and there was a kid, I guess his son, in the back room, playing on the computer games and stuff and talking with other people. And every other word out of this kid's mouth was F this and F you, and just unbelievable, you know. And the father who's making the pizza, he had to have been hearing it too. He's not even correcting it. But we're demoralizing our children.
No, you're right. All right, last question on Brunson. Just a comment on the Brunson thing. Have you heard anything on that? Is the Supreme Court doing anything with that? With the writ that he put together after the 2020 election?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a secret weapon that Trump's going to pull out of his hat at some point in the very near future, particularly with the oath problems, because that I think is the most important part of the Brunson case.
He's got the oath.
Oath, yeah, most of the people in government, especially on a federal level, don't have oaths, and that includes judges.
Yeah, well, the judges are all supposed to be licensed attorneys, too, and there's no such thing as a licensed attorney. All I got is bar cards. That's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, they have to be approved by the New World Order is what it is. It's called the Bar Association. Those are the minions.
I understand. But none of them are licensed. You know, I'm a licensed builder, and I have that license. But, you know, there's no licensed attorneys. They all got bar cards, and you ask them for their license, and they'll show you the bar cards. That's not a license, so...
Well, again, you know, to be an attorney or a lawyer, a certificate is one thing, a license is another thing. And like you say, they don't have a license anyway. Their bar card is really just a membership card, and they pay their dues, and they call it a license. And, of course, it's not a license. There's no such thing, you're right, as a license to practice law. Anyone can practice law. You don't need a license to practice law. You know, if you don't study and understand due process and how the process works, and hopefully we get into the common law and you don't understand how things work that from that perspective, then you're just going to lose your cases. And
in the time you've been in court and stuff like that, you know, have you ever had a judge ask you if you were a licensed attorney?
Oh, many times. Just ask me if I was an attorney.
Yeah. Well, if they're asking if you're a licensed attorney, it would be interesting to hear what they would say if you says, are you, you know, show me your license. I haven't got a license, but you don't either. It would be kind of interesting to hear that.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it's just a bar card.
Yeah.
You know? And no judges become a judge unless they are approved by the bar. And the bar is the enemy of the people. It's the enemy of justice, the enemy of our courts, the enemy of our government, the enemy of our education. They've destroyed life. They've just destroyed so much.
You're right. I mean, and it's coming to an end. I don't know when, but it's coming to an end. It's just disgusting. Well, it would be interesting to hear what happens with Brunson. That's because I mean, they really should do something like that before Trump comes back into office on the 20th. It's way overdue. Let's put it that way.
You know, I think they've already decided on those things. They're holding off because I don't know. I do think that they are just holding up on that, and it's going to be applied probably at some point in time. It's going to be a weapon that that Trump can use to get rid of a lot of people that are really the enemies of the people. You know.
Well, it's interesting times we live in, John.
Well, it is, no doubt about that. But, you know, personally, I don't think the world's going to go on much longer anyway, but we'll see how that works out. You know, as time goes on, things are going to get worse. Even though they're going to get better, if we continue with AI, that's going to be the destruction of mankind. And it's more than just, you know, AI, you know, you know, being able to really think and to become an enemy of the people, and there's all kinds of things that could happen from that perspective, and that seems to be the big worry that people focus in on when they talk about these things. But I'm talking about the destruction of minds, because people are going to rely on it. They rely on computers, they rely on their stupid smartphone so much, everything they do, okay, and they spend so much time on the texting and all that stuff. So they put a lot of, you know, reliance on that. You know, they don't have, you know, the mathematics and everything they can do through that on a computer or a calculator. They're not really learning a lot of things. But especially, you know, when it comes to the basics, just common sense, can't read a clock, can't tell a direction, can't read a map, you know. I mean, it's a mess. And you do research, you know, I do my research. Doing research is an education. That's where I got my education from, researching. And then writing. And then researching and writing and correcting and just going on and on and on. And you develop all this knowledge of whatever it is you're doing. I mean, you get AI, you can just throw in a few words and have AI do all the work and it prints it out and there it is, you know. What kind of an education does that give you now? You know, and our children in school, you know, you got to read a book or something, and you go to AI, hey, write me a paper on this book I'm supposed to be reading, and pop it out, and there it is. You know, it's destructive.
Well, maybe they get back to oral examination pretty soon instead of these tests. That would work too. So you either know or you don't. But one more thing before I go, but it's interesting. I was figuring this out the other day about carbon dioxide and the carbon credits and all the other stuff that you're trying to take carbon out of the atmosphere. But I mean, plants rely on carbon dioxide to grow. I mean, that's where they get the carbon from the atmosphere. But did you ever stop and ask and find out how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere? Percentage-wise.
I've never looked at that, but yeah, you do have a point, because there's an exchange between nature and our breathing. You know, nature gives us the oxygen, and the waste that we grow, blow out, so to speak, is the carbon monoxide.
Carbon dioxide. The plants take in carbon dioxide, take all the carbon out of it, and give off oxygen. That's where you get your oxygen from. But the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is, and they're talking about this big, carbon footprint and all that stuff, but it's 0.04% is how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere. So, I mean, 0.04%. And of that 0.04%, maybe, you got volcanoes, you got forest fires and all the other things causing putting carbon dioxide in the air. The man's manufacturing stuff maybe affect about 2% of that. So 2% of 0.04% is what we're dealing with. That's what we're spending billions of dollars on.
Yeah. Well, again, it's always been
water. 2% of 0.04% would give you about 1/3 of a gram of water left over. So that's, what is that, a drop of water out of 100 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
And we're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars trying to do something with that drop of water out of 100 pounds. It's crazy.
Well, that's the con job. That's where they're making all their money,
Right, but if you put it like that to people, everybody says, I saw this one yard sign by my house. I'm a climate voter. I says, what the heck is a climate voter? Well, we're trying to take carbon dioxide out of there. They haven't got a clue, John. They haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
And we put up with it. I'm taking up a lot of time. There's somebody else online, I'm sure. But all right, just hang in there.
Look, at all of that's going to be cleaned up. There's no doubt in my mind. We have Musk working with, goodness, what's that guy's name?
Ramaswamy.
Strange name.
Beck, Ramaswamy.
Yeah, those two guys are working to bring things back to common sense again, get rid of all the waste. I mean, there's going to be a huge change within the first year, huge. Cutting back on government hugely. I would believe more than half other people working in government we don't need. And I think it's a lot more than half. It's probably more like 3/4 that we just don't need there, And
they don't want to have a government shutdown because people find out we really don't need them in the first place. So,
yeah. They're going to make a good cleanup. But it's up to the people to deal with the other problem. I don't see this world doing very well at all, if it continues another 20, 30 years or so, even if we clean and straighten everything up and get rid of all of the tyrants and, put them at the end of a rope or in jail or whatever the juries decide, and we reduce government hugely and things get better and money has value again and there's so many things that are going to be so great. But then there's technology. The evil in technology, which is a major problem to destroy the mind. And that's the problem with technology. It destroys the mind. Using it as a tool is one thing. But we're getting beyond that. Write me a paper on this. Write me a paper on that. Where's your knowledge? Where's your education anymore?
You're right. Well, we'll see. Like I say, it's a tool. All the technology is a tool, and it's amazing what they can do.
But AI is a problem. And look, I can understand AI in certain areas would be great to use, but then how do you have it in certain areas and not in other areas? Because people are going to grab onto it and use it for all kinds of things. It'll go right down to our children. It's going to be a problem, I'll tell you right now. It already is a problem. It's just going to get worse. But we'll see how it goes, I guess.
We'll see soon enough. Hopefully for the next, this is the 9th already. I'm the 10th of December. We're only about, 40 days away from Trump taking over on this thing, getting his oath of office in there, and hopefully all hell's going to break loose.
It's like 30, 31 or 32 days. It's the 20th he takes power, right?
Yeah, January 20th. It's about 40 days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because we're on the 10th, right?
Right,
yeah,
right,
so
right.
Another 20 days, yeah.
So, I mean, we're already 5 weeks from the election already. You know, that I was so sick of the advertising on TV and all stuff. I says, get me out of here. And all of a sudden, it's been 5 weeks. Time is flying by, John. Time is flying by.
Well, yeah. Well, it always does anyway, especially the older you get, the faster it goes. I mean, year by year by year just flies by, you know.
It's like life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the court, the faster it spins.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't seem like it was 8 years ago when we elected Trump for the first time. It just doesn't seem that long, you know.
My only problem with all that is, you know, for all these years, the insiders, whatever you want to call them, the swamp, everything, I mean, nothing happened unless they wanted it to happen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this when Trump got elected against, what's her name, Hillary, my first thought was, my God, they control all this stuff. They absolutely control all this stuff. How did that happen, okay? I didn't even know what to think about that when Trump won the thing. And,
well, they didn't expect him to get as many votes, and that was the problem. And they just couldn't, they just were unable to really cheat big enough. And that came to the same problem this year, this time now, you know?
Too big to rig. Well, I mean, a lot of the down ballot stuff went down. You know, I mean, I can't believe, I mean, there was in Michigan a couple of years ago, we had one guy running against I'm trying to think what the woman's name was for senator or whatever like that. And there's no way. No, it was Hart. No, not Hart. I can't remember his name. But there's no way that guy lost. And I mean, and it was, you know, Trump lost and he lost. And I'm going, you know, you rotten sons of guns. You know what I mean? Come on. It was,
well, that's
it was,
happened in a number of places where Trump won, but the people that were running to really get the good seats to help him, you know, whether it was senatorial or congressional, yeah, they lost, and I think we need to do a recount in all those places. You know, they were cheating because it took too long to come up with the conclusions, and
yeah,
so
they vote early and vote often, right?
Huh?
They vote early and vote often.
Yeah, yeah. There it is, the problem. So we got to go to one-day voting. Period. End of subject. Only people who are sick or in the service or out of states or something, you know, to do mail-in ballots. But anyway, what else you got, John?
I think that's it. I mean, I've taken up too much time already. I'm sure somebody else is in the line, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
If anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1 on a phone, and if you're coming in with an app or browser, should be a button there to enter the queue. Okay, thanks, John.
You bet.
Okay, Frocine, you got the mic. Well, I lost you. How did that happen? Well, I guess Ross, I'll get to you in a minute. Go ahead, Ross, you got the mic.
John?
Yeah.
I think we need to The states, the legislature needs to call for a convention on the Republic Review to review federal actions or state actions as well.
A Republic Review?
Yes, Republic Review Convention.
Well, absolutely. That's what we need. We know GR is working on that. I haven't spoken to him in a long time, so I don't know where he's at with that.
And I think... Trump can't get rid of all of it himself. We, the people, have to do the work, too.
Oh, absolutely. And are you familiar with GR and what he's doing?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so he's working on that, and I need to try to catch up with him and see where he's at with things. We definitely do support his work for the Republic Review. So.
Yes, get rid of the FBI because it doesn't have any constitutional authority. It's only statutory in nature.
So, say that all again, something about statutory in nature.
I was saying the FBI, United States Federal Investigation, has no constitutional authority, only has statutory authority. Anyways.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, look at, first of all, when it comes to statutes and codes and all that stuff, once it's being applied, and this is what our battle is, this is what NLA's battle is, this is the work of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is sponsored by National Liberty Alliance. You know, that's the job we have, to make sure we get courts of law back and make sure we get common law and get rid of the civil law. Then all these statutes just apply on themselves, on them. And the ones we don't like, if it ends up in a criminal court, because anything that gets into a criminal court has to now turn into a court of record. You know, an administrative court can have hearings on people who have, you know, violated their agreement and are not respecting and exercising and executing the statutes and the codes that they agreed to work under. But if they did something criminal, it doesn't go into an administrative court. It then moves right into a court of record, because you know, the court of record is the only ones that have the power to fine and incarcerate. And so when it gets there, if the people are educated, they can fix these problems with codes or any kind of a statute that they disagree with or don't like. You know, they just nullify it. It's nullified. But they can't hold that up against the people, you know, because it doesn't apply to us. But, yeah, we still have to fix these problems. There's a lot of agencies that don't belong there. I think Trump's going to just nail a lot of them and get rid of them. You know, he's getting rid of the Department of Education. Federal government never should have had anything to do with education. That right belonged to the states, ultimately to the people, to control the states, to get a proper education for their children within their own, districts, school districts.
I also think we need to put all the different departments like health and human services back into the state department. State department traditionally had domestic responsibility. The State Department used to have domestic responsibility in the United States.
Yeah, I'm not getting what you're saying, Ross.
I said domestic responsibility.
But whose responsibility is it?
The Secretary of State.
Secretary of State. All right.
Yeah. The Secretary of State of the United States is the Chief Communications Officer for the United States government to the other states of the Union.
Okay.
If a disease comes from abroad into the United States, they have to talk to the Secretary of State, a governor of another in that state, the particular governor.
Yeah, I'm just not getting your question on that, though, Ross.
I was saying that if he's a chief communications officer for the president, but also for the United States itself, and if we have a disease come from international, but from abroad to the United States,
You keep getting gobbling at certain points. You gobble out. I don't know, a connection or something, but I missed the last 5 seconds, 8 seconds.
It's about communications to the states with diseases from abroad to this particular state of the Union.
Yeah, I'm not getting what you're saying. You're just breaking up too much. It becomes gobbly. So.
Okay, there's health problems in the United States. If it's coming from abroad, from another country, how does the governor of that state get the information from?
Yeah, I'm just still not getting you. You're breaking up. Well, you're getting gobbled at certain points. Gerard or Terry, you getting any of this? What Ross was trying to say?
You want me to send information to you what I was trying to say.
Yeah, you could do that. Send it to mail, and maybe Terry can keep an eye out for it, and maybe we can deal with it tonight because we still have a half hour. So if you send it to Terry, just send it to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org.
Or send it to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org.
There you go. And Terry will read it if you send it. You can send it now, all right?
Yes, I will, Ross.
He was getting gobbled up from time to time here. I just didn't get him. Okay, let me take the next caller. Thanks, Ross. Frocine, you're back. You got the mic. I don't know what happened before. You fell
Hello.
Out. How you doing, Frocine?
Hey, yeah. So, I have a lot of reactions to some of the stuff, and definitely Ross is cutting in and out. I don't know if that's like...
It becomes gobbled. You know, he's hard to understand as it is sometimes, but it just becomes gobbly, like it's some kind of connection problem.
I don't know if I don't recall other weeks if that's customary for his phone or whatever. But it was tough to hear. It wasn't just you, but anyway.
He's always had a reasonably good connection. So
okay,
and he's in every Monday. So
okay, so. I'm going to run through these quickly, and hopefully you can respond to some of them.
Hey, did I send you a copy of that paper?
You did, and I was glad you mentioned it. You know, I think we need to look at that more.
There's a lot of quotes that you can pull out and use in your case. It's a good memorandum to begin with. I got a case going up, the New York's Supreme Court right now, and I'm using that as a memorandum in my case.
Excellent. I will look at it with that eye, toward that.
I make the major points in the paper, but then refer to the memorandum for clarity and, expounding on the points,
Right. Yeah, no, you do a good job with that. Like, your footnotes are amazing. A lot of things... We mentioned, I was hoping to get some of your thoughts on it. One is the whatever it was, but it made me think about a couple things. One is the potential pardons. These potential pardons, like not only did he pardon Hunter, which he said he wouldn't do, but he's also floating, pardoning Fauci and Liz Cheney and.
There's nothing to pardon him for, because they haven't went to court yet.
Right.
Besides that, everything and anything he's done is null and void anyway, because the whole thing is built upon fraud. His administration is built upon fraud. We don't even know who the president is of the United States is now.
Well, okay, then does that mean that Hunter is or is not pardoned? Let's say it's fraud. Okay, it's fraud, but... Are they going to treat it like it's the real thing and pardon Hunter?
You can't. Common law won't permit it.
Yeah, but we're not really under common law in the sense.
Well, we are. They're not acknowledging it, and they're covering it up, and they bring
well,
the
Well, that's what I meant. They're still operating like we're not under common law.
Right, but it's got to change. It's got to change. Look, this is where we the people have to, tooth and nail. I mean, we have to make sure we get our courts back. If we get everything back, that they're talking about, but no one is talking about bringing the common law back into the court, the law of the land. And we have to start suing people, literally, even the president himself, if we can't get this thing going. Not that that wouldn't be a good position to sue, of course, because he's not well. To some degree, he's liable because he deals with judges, and he should be putting judges in there that obey the law, and they need to know it. These senators, the same thing. We sue them also. They're the ones that make the decision to put these morons in there.
I think we should make as many changes as fast and hard as possible.
Absolutely.
Set the stage correct, and then people will adjust to it. Okay, so, that was about the potential. And then January 6th, is Trump...
they're all coming out.
...going to do stuff for these poor January 6th people and even possibly give them restitution for all their lost
they
years?
They have to get restitution. For every injury, there must be a remedy. It's a requirement. So no matter what...
Is that being floated in the background, as far as you know?
Well, we're floating it in the background. I don't know if anybody else is floating it in the background. Tom Fenton.
Right.
He's good. Doing some good work, but he's not a common law guy. He doesn't understand the common law. He's a true believer of the law, the statutory law, the civil law, I believe. You know, he's a trained attorney, and he practices what the bar teaches him. But we're communicating with him. I don't know if he's capable of receiving and understanding and responding to what we're sending him, because his mind is polluted by all this civil law.
These are people who do understand.
Do you think they understand the law?
Well, they understand there's a problem. That's why they're taking a stand against a lot of the things that are happening. I mean, Tom Fenton wouldn't be doing the things that he's doing if he didn't.
But he doesn't understand the common law. He doesn't understand natural law. He understands statutes. He understands, and he adheres. Well, maybe he doesn't, but I'm pretty sure he does, because all lawyers seem to. They adhere to comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y.
Right.
And so that's a problem. I mean, look at the trial courts. You know how corrupt they are, and people get thrown out, and they make all these decisions, and it's just a whole corrupt thing, and the person gets thrown out. They don't know enough to go in to really try to appeal it. They don't have the ability, or even the appeal is knocked down. So you have these trial courts making all these stupid decisions, and they're calling that law. They're calling that common law. It's really horrible.
It's an affront, really. Okay, well, all right. So again, my question was
January 6th. These people, Trump has already said he's going to set them all loose.
Okay. Did he say anything about restitution? As far as you know,
I haven't heard anything on that. But that's a requirement under the law of the land.
All right.
Right, but you know, these people deserve multi-millions of dollars for this, because
absolutely. It's horrible. Now, regarding the carbon that whoever was talking about, we are the carbon that they want to get rid of.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The same way Trump says they're after you, I'm standing in the way, we're the carbon they're trying to get rid of. So,
yeah,
anyway,
they're trying to eliminate as much carbon as they can, yeah.
That's right, and you know, that's us. So as far as AI, that's end times. You know, that whole deception appears to, you know, the Revelation where it says the beast, looks like it had a mortal wound, but it didn't die. I mean, that's AI, or at least a lot of people believe that's an AI.
Well, it's, you know, the deadly wound is Satan, and the heel is the heel of Christ at the cross.
Appearance of it, right. Department of Education, I was racking my, I think I heard it just today or maybe yesterday, and I could not remember. In my head, I see it, you know, the YouTube or something. And from what I saw, Department of Education was created when Carter won the election, and that was his payback to the teachers and gave them, against the teachers union, gave them a Department of Education and just flooded their industry with all that money. So
I didn't know the history of that, but I heard a little bit about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And yeah, so that means that that whole department is just a slush fund for, for you scratch my back, I scratch yours. So that's
And it's more than that. It's being able to control the entire nation, all of our children.
And
make sure they don't get a proper education, make sure they get an improper education.
Yes, and as far as now, and then tech... That's hackable. You know, very big bad underlying current of tech, and you know, like you were saying, AI is bad because it doesn't.
I don't know that it can be stopped because it's so enticing, and look at AI has a good value in certain areas, and it's not necessarily cheating there. When you use it in certain areas, but when you're using it to educate yourself and to educate others, you're cheating yourself of an education, and that's a problem. And then sometimes you probably don't even know what even AI is telling you. So
No, you don't. And when they call it hallucinating. They call it, when AI gives you the wrong information, they say it's hallucinating. That's the term. Yeah. And if you recall, a few months ago, it was called out. But when people were asking AI for historical figures, and they were giving a lot of black people face to like George Washington, other major figures, historical figures, and they were completely like equity inclusion kind of answers.
Mm-hmm.
Including
there's a lot of distorted history out there, so AI, would you make use of that? So you're going to get a lot of flawed stuff too.
Right. Well, so that's the point. But then if it was more subtle than it was a joke. What I'm talking about became a joke because it was so obvious, but all it has to do is be less subtle and it won't be picked up. It'll be more of a deception. Now,
the world can never survive AI, I'm telling you, they can't. It's so damaging on so many levels.
Yes. Now, as far as another element of that is the hackableness, like Yuval Harari, who was the sidekick of, which is being overly humorous about it, but because it's actually quite serious, but to Klaus Schwab. And he says plainly many, many times over that humans are, quote, redundant, which is a business term for, unnecessary. That the time for free will, I think, something like that, is over. It's over. And there's a lot of stuff that I've seen that some of the shots that we have gone through have graphene and other...
To quote Schwarzenegger...
Klaus Schwab.
But to quote Schwarzenegger, screw your freedom or screw your liberty. Get exactly what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their mentality.
It is their... Right, and so, again, this Yuval Harari... he says that human beings are hackable, and they I've already seen videos like early on with these shots.
They absolutely are hackable. You're absolutely right.
Right. They have bioengineering in there. They have metal in there, and now you are you're a product of the pharmaceutical. You are now a product, and they actually own you. Tom Callender talks a lot about that.
Well, they've been hacking our minds through education alone, too.
Yeah, but this is actually, patented.
Yeah.
They've been hacking our minds, in a more subtle way, but this is something they can actually point to and say, okay, we have a patent on you.
Right.
Again, you're the carbon and you're hackable.
Just so you know, Francine, you got 3 more minutes because after that we have a short period of time. We do have one other person in the queue.
Okay.
So go ahead.
All right. And the other thing, let's see here. Plans for disruption. That's another question I wanted to ask you. I heard something about January 21st, and I didn't hear what they were saying. I just heard that they were saying that there was talk about something January 21st. So it wouldn't be surprising to me at all if there was the intent to do some sort of chaos, anarchy, blah, blah, blah. Any kind of thing on the horizon that you've been hearing?
Yeah, it's kind of quiet. I don't know what they're going to do. I know, Dave from X22 has come up with a few different thoughts and ideas, but nothing solid. And other people, nobody knows, but we do know they got to do something because they're done.
Right.
Done. They're going to jail or ending up at the end of a short rope. That's it. It's over for them. So they got to do something. And
they're
really nail-biting on what it is that they may do. I think the best thing that Trump can do right now is to release all the information on all the pedophilia and everything, because this will just destroy them and throw them off their game so big it may help to prevent whatever it is they're going to planning
on
doing.
That's true. That's a very good way to handle that, yes. And then the last thing I was thinking was, as far as the bar, and a little bit what I'm going through, I can't have someone in there with me unless they are a lawyer. So these judges, have created the court system that only bar holding lawyers can be there, unless you're representing yourself and you
done in secret.
Sorry?
They do everything in secret. It's all in their, you know, hands, and they don't want anybody witnessing their crimes.
Well, but I can't, like, you're supposed to be able to have a next friend or, you know, like, and they just, the way I'm seeing it in practice, they don't allow.
And you have a right to an open hearing, too.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, anyway, so that's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah, again, these are problems we have to fix, and you know, we really need to, you know, we really need to go professional, but we just don't have the money to do that. If we can go professional, we can do so much more. But we do need people volunteering. We do need people donating, giving us the money to do the things we want to do, because everything costs money. And we have a lot we can do.
That's a problem, because when you were expressing, you know, the process for ballot counting, and you did say that, like, there would be these are paid positions, like the initial parts, but then the committee of safety, there's supposed to be no compensation. And while I agree with that,
well,
they might not be practical.
They need to only be there at the end of the day for the counting. I mean, they can go and they can be there for the whole day, that's fine, but they definitely should be there at the end of the day for the counting. When the polls close,
right,
then the public should be available to be able, anybody wants to come in and watch should watch, and it's up to the committee man to certify those elections. Now, there are other people, there are watchers that are paid by the government through, you know, to watch and
I'm just saying they have to be practical, that people, you know, because okay, we need volunteers for this, we need volunteers, you know. That's great.
Well, yeah,
but
remember,
can't afford that amount of time.
Well, remember a couple of things. I don't know if you hear last week we were talking about money. And that the dollar, in the calculations of a dollar, the ratio between gold and silver and looking at money going back to, you know, 1913, and then where we're at today, the dollar, I wrote a paper in 2008 called Two Pennies Worth, and I updated that paper, and I changed the name to Three Quarters of a Penny, because that's where we're at. We literally, a dollar is three quarters of a penny, literally. Now, we need to get back to gold and silver, get some constitutional money back into, you know, our system, and so money should not, look, once we correct everything, and Trump brings us back, economically speaking, the dollar gets back to the real dollar and its relationship to gold and silver, and so many other things are fixed, okay, at that point, people won't have to work as hard to be able to survive, and everybody should be able to survive reasonably, very decently. But we, you know, government, we have government by consent. And if people don't know how to have government by consent, then you can't have government by consent. Then people don't know how to have government by consent. It requires an education, something that they should have learned in school. So that's why we're teaching that here, what government by consent is, and activity. We have to monitor these people. We have to make sure they do their job, and we have to be diligent and watch what they're doing and paying attention. And again, many hands make light work. You have enough people doing this and bringing back the reports, you're good. But we do have to put our time in. We have to walk papers to get people onto the ballot. We have to be there at the election, at the polling stations at the end of the day for the elections to certify the votes, to say, yes, everything was done correctly, and it's all, you know, up on the table. And
then we need to restore a sense of pride, quote unquote, in participating in the process, rather than those little stickers, I voted, we should have little stickers, I participated in the entire process.
Yeah, no. You're absolutely right. That is so childish, too. You know, again, they treat us like children, and they maintain us as children to some degree, or really slaves is what they maintain us as.
Yeah.
So we're dumb, dumber like an ox. And we really have to, people have to step up and take care of business. And if they're not going to do that, then we're just going to lose it all again, and we'll never get our courts of justice back. But with that, I got to move to our next caller, because we only got minutes left, and I want to give you some time. So, all right, thanks. Hey, by the way, See if you can make contact, or maybe you can get me information on who I would talk with about that law group, because I'd like to go meet with them next time, whenever that is.
Got it. I can send that to you right now.
Yeah, I want to talk with them because we really need some leadership in our Committee of Safety. Nobody's really taken up, but I think those people will take the leadership, you know?
Okay, I'll send you some info.
Okay, thanks. Later. All right, our last questionnaire. Let's see. It looks like Linda from Virginia. Is that right? 703 area code. Telephone, you got the mic.
Yes. Linden, Virginia. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. It's been a while, but I've been listening, but sometimes I have to catch up on the, you know, recorded stuff. But anyway, I was calling because about an issue that I am dealing with. I had applied for Medicare Part B, and months went by, and I didn't hear anything. I thought, well, the government, it takes them a while to do anything. And I finally called and was told that they did not receive my application. And I said, well, that's funny, because I have a certified mail receipt here that says you did receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So then 5 minutes later, she came back and she said, oh, here it is. So she said, we're going to backdate it to when you applied. I don't know any much about this, you know what I mean? So I didn't know what that meant.
So you're retired on Medicaid, Medicare, you got Social Security, is that what's going on?
Yeah, I just applied for Medicare Part B.
But you're retired, you're receiving Social Security or disabled?
Yes, retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, and if you know when you go for Social Security, they automatically put a lot of this stuff on the medical coverage, and they start hitting you for dollars on your income coming in from the retirement and Social Security. And what I did is I told them, look, I don't need it. I can't afford to have medical coverage, so just take it away because I can't pay for it. And they said, well, we'll give it to you for free then. So you could do that too if they're charging you for it. All my life, you know, I'm a vet, so all my life, whenever I had to do anything, go to the doctors or a hospital, I always went down to the veterans, the VA hospital. And so I got free medical anyway, you know. So that was in my thinking.
Well,
they gave it to me anyway.
I didn't get it right away, but I did apply for it eventually, which evidently is, you know, they don't seem to be able to deal with. But anyway, she backdated it 4 months. So then they come to me and they say, you owe us $823 for the 4 months that I did not know I had coverage.
You can argue that because they've hit me up for something like that, and I told them I need my money, but they gave it back to me.
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish the rest of it. So I didn't know I had access or the ability to use it because I hadn't heard anything from them. So then they said, you have to pay this. And what I was going to do was get Medicare, and I was going to sign up for an Advantage plan where they reimburse you. So that was another issue because since they backdated it 4 months, I was not able to receive reimbursement for it.
Didn't you get Medicaid other than Medicare?
No, Medicare.
Yeah, but don't you have Medicaid too?
No, I don't. Mm-mm,
if
I
you're
can't.
On disability or you're retired, you get Medicaid automatically. You should have it. And Medicare is something that you get if you're permanently disabled, they'll give you the Medicare, or if you are fully retired, they'll give you the Medicare. But they will deduct money out of your check every month unless you tell them to stop, and they will stop if you tell them.
Yeah, I have to pay the hundreds. I'm not eligible to get Medicaid. It's based on income, you know. So, but anyway, I do pay the $164 a month for. But what they did was in March, they said, well, you haven't paid the $800, so they took my Medicare. Now I don't have any Medicare. And I went to Senator...
I don't know how they can do that.
They did it.
Wow.
I have the notices to prove it. You know, but then
well,
I said...
Do you have income coming in from other places other than Social Security?
Yeah. But so it's not the income, it's the health care coverage, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have more income coming in, you know, from some other way, you know.
Yeah, I do.
And they know about that, then yeah, there may be a limit on that, but they're saying, yeah, you got to pay it because you make
some. But the whole thing is, it was their negligence in not processing the application for 4 months.
Wait, yeah.
Now they're trying to charge me for it.
Hearing. You don't. It's not a court session. It's an administrative process.
Well, I read something that said the appeals and all that is a trap. That all they do is put you in that that you know long line of people or whatever, and it takes forever. Evidently, you can do it 5 times, and that's years and years. Where I'm running, not having coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I contacted, this is what I want to get to. I didn't really want to, that's not really my point.
Okay.
But I had to have a background, you know. So I filed a complaint, 10-page complaint with them, and they just kind of came back with the same thing. So then I went to Senator Warner, who is I'm in Virginia, he's our senator. So I told him, and he said, okay, you can file it with my office in Harrisonburg or somewhere. And so I did. And he went to the Social Security Administration. And I just now got a notice back stating the same thing. It was just basically, you owe us the money. It did not address any of my issues that I presented in any way. It was an unsigned notice. And
well, you should do a notice and demand. I don't know if you're familiar with that and how to do that, but if you do a notice, well, the thing is, do you have any knowledge of the due process and how the court system works?
Yeah, I've handled my own court cases before.
Okay, so, you know, basically you do a notice
but
and demand.
But the thing with that is you cannot, I've read where you cannot sue them until you have exhausted all the administrative.
That is their process. They want you to go through the administrative process.
Yeah, so
that's true.
So they're holding.
But again, you can probably get move it into the court to the point where you can prevent them from taking money or requiring money in order to have your coverage until this case is settled. I mean, that's something that you could possibly do through the courts. But,
They did stop my Social Security for like a year over this, and they just recently restarted it.
Did they give you that money that you lost for that year?
I'm sorry.
Did they pay you for the year they held? Did they give you that money?
No.
You need to have a hearing. Now you are absolutely right. It takes a long time to get through the process.
That's my point I want to make about this. Mm-hmm. They've got these cottage industries of lawyers that are lined up, and they'll. What happens is when you go to the government, I don't care which agency it is, they tell you, well, you can either get, you know, go to these lawyers to represent you, or you can do an appeal. So then you have to go to the lawyers and pay money to get a benefit that you're entitled to. You know, and so the government has become a complete pass-through.
If you go and read their codes, okay, you can figure things out. If you're able to work in the courts, you should be able to work through this administrative process and read their codes and apply their codes against them to one point of it. But look, here's the problem.
But the government is stealing from people. That's what's happening.
Well,
you
absolutely.
Know, that's,
yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you read the stuff on this recent CEO killing, you know, that was shot in
New York. I've heard quite a bit of it, and some new stories just came out today I heard about, but go ahead. Yeah.
You know, it said that the bullets were marked with delay, deny, and defend, which is the insurance, and it's a phrase in the insurance agency that they use to deny claims. Well, that's the same thing that's happening in the government.
Absolutely.
Delay, deny, defend.
Here's the problem. People don't think, and they don't know how to think, nor do they want them to think. So they really are not thinking any of this out. And whenever there's extenuating circumstances, they're not even capable of seeing that to push it up, because you need to push it to escalate to a higher individual. You want to talk with their management and just keep moving up. You get to a specialist, you know. I mean, that's what you need to do when you deal with bureaucrats.
But all that takes time. Take years doing that. In the meantime,
you can get done pretty quickly on the phones. I mean, it wastes a lot of time because it takes you hours to get on the phone just to have one.
Are you talking about the appeals?
Well, no, not just the appeals, just the facts of things. And you escalate to a person who has the ability to think and realize that they're extenuating circumstances.
Well, I thought that's what I was doing when I went. That's another thing. I thought that's what I was doing when I went to Senator Warner. And apparently, our senators have no leverage whatsoever with these government agencies. You know, used to be that you could go to a senator and you would get results. But now it seems like they are just treated with disregard. I'm getting the same answers that I got when I tried to do a complaint, you know. So I'm like, what in the world? The senators, a congressional representative, has no leverage or power over these agencies?
Yeah, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I had a situation for my daughter, and I had to contact the congressman for it, and, you know, Democrat, very liberal. Nevertheless, they did a pretty good job getting me
somebody.
Well,
he's a Democrat, too. Actually, I do like, I actually do, for a Democrat, Senator Warner is pretty good, you know.
Yeah,
but
he's
ambitious anyway.
My congressman did get someone in the system to talk with me, and it took a while before they figured out what was going on. But then at the end of the day, you know, I never got a report, and I needed the report. So that's kind of just hanging in there. But I did get quick access and quick action to what I was trying to repair. But then it took another problem, because without the report, again, I've laid out the problem, but these people are too stupid to understand it, or they don't have the power or the authority to make a decision beyond what is laid out before them, and they're told what they can do and what the.
That's what I feel too. I feel like they're hiring people that do not have the ability to understand these problems, you know.
Well, you see, that's where you push it up to the management, and you're supposed to, at some point, you should be able to get to a specialist in these things. I mean, that's supposed to, but people don't realize that that's what they need to do. See, I get to the point talking to people, and I say, look, I don't want to talk to you no more. I want to talk with your boss. I want to talk with your manager or someone that's a specialist in this area. I need to talk to someone else. So people have to realize that. That's what you really need to do to try to help you push it along. But, yeah, you're still going to be probably stuck in administrative process. And, yeah, it probably is going to take 6 months before you actually have your hearing. And then it's going to take another couple of months before they make a decision. And then, if they make a bad decision, then you can move it into state court to appeal.
I mean, this is so absurd, because it was their mistake, their delay, their negligence, you know.
Well, absolutely. You know, in a case that I'm fighting, and I'm still fighting it, ultimately, it's the law is clear. The law is crystal clear on the position and the point that we're making. And even though you give it to them, they're incapable. They say, I can't make that kind of decision. See, they're at a level that they can't make those decisions, because if they did, well, they're just not allowed to, but if they did, eventually they're just going to get rid of them or something. They'll move. I don't know what they'll do, because they don't like to fire people, like, I guess. But they're not permitted to make certain decisions, even though it's obvious. It's a mess, I know. But
well,
anyway,
I was reading about that CEO that was killed, and there were articles that said people have no sympathy at all you know, because of the way the medical system is.
Mm-hmm.
And they just were not, sorry.
They've been around so much, I guess they just get cold, and there is no empathy on a lot of these different levels, and especially in the medical system. You know, it's...
But this is outright extortion by the government, because they're trying to charge me over $800 for their mistake. That's extortion, you know?
Well, I agree. It's a problem, no doubt. So, but again, it's bureaucracy trying to get through it. It's a problem we have, and maybe we'll get that repaired. You know, maybe what's his name, Musk, could be able to do something about that, because he's going to be looking into a lot of waste and a lot of problems in a lot of government agencies, and Social Security is one.
I don't know. I'm real concerned, because I think it is so, it's just so overwhelming and so big.
Yeah,
problems, but
you got a lot of experts right now working in the right places with the right mindset and a desire to really bring the law back and to get rid of waste and bring our country back to where it should be. Make America great again. You know, I mean, that's really where we're at. And so, I mean, Trump is really picking the right people and putting them in the right places. And it's going to go real quick, you know.
I do have a lot of hope or faith in him, because he is not like any of the other ones, because he has no vested interest in gaining anything from it. He's already, you know, good on his own, you know, and so that for that reason.
And anybody's not a politician. We don't need politicians. We need people who are statesmen. We need people. We need business people doing, because Trump
exactly.
is a business guy.
That's what I always said. He's a businessman. I don't care what you think about his personal life or any of that stuff, you know. But he's a businessman, and he will be able to do, you know, what it takes to make us prosperous.
Right. Well, the business of the United States is business. So we need a businessman to run it. Look at what Trump is already doing is just amazing. These people have been in office for God knows how long, and they claim this and they claim that, and they can't get it done, and this, that, and the other thing. But look what Trump is doing. But it is true that there's a lot of problems at every level, and Trump is hitting every one of those levels. Okay? So I'll tell you, we're not going to even recognize America in the next 6 months.
I'm amazed at what they have already done. I'm really surprised how fast they're moving.
And he just met, with the leader of Ukraine, and he already got Russia willing and ready and able to go to the table to work this out. And he had a physical personal meeting with the president, or whatever he's called over there in Ukraine, and they're all folding.
They're all just folding, you know.
Because they're guilty of sin.
Yeah, I posted that Trump upset the apple cart. That's what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Look at with that. I got to go. We're way over time.
Well, I hesitated actually to bring that situation up, but because it's not easily explainable, like you were describing, you know. So.
All right, well, we need to get our courts back, and we need to get, proper administrations that the people have to deal with, like the administrations that deal with the Social Security, you know. So that's a place that we have to go into those administrative courts to deal with problems, to get them corrected, and it is ridiculous.
The problem is you got one agency that's overburdened with all the foreigner, you know, all the SSI stuff and all that, and then you have the retirees, and it's too much on one agency, and they're understaffed, you know. They clearly don't have enough people to handle what they have.
Well, you're absolutely right, but with that, we got to go. So,
okay,
appreciate
all
the call.
Righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, we've ended things for the evening, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night, everybody.